For takeaways from first DOGE subcommittee hearing. At the first hearing of the House's subcommittee on delivering on government efficiency, the Department of Government Efficiency and its leader Elon Musk drove many of the charged exchanges between lawmakers on February 12. The hearing, presided over by Chair Marjorie Taylor Greene, was held to discuss improper payments to Medicare and Medicaid. Some lawmakers mentioned specific legislation and other strategies to counter waste, fraud, and abuse in the two health insurance programs. Democrats questioned whether DOGE, a temporary advisory body championed by Republican lawmakers, had crossed into illegality. Here are some highlights from the Oversight Subcommittee's inaugural hearing, convened just weeks after the inception of Musk's DOGE. Greene vowed that her subcommittee would fight the war on waste shoulder to shoulder with President Trump, Elon Musk, and the DOGE team. Ranking Member Melanie Stansberry was critical of both Musk and Trump, saying the two were recklessly and illegally dismantling the federal government. She called on Musk to testify before the subcommittee. House Republicans previously blocked a subpoena to require his appearance before the Oversight Committee. Republicans largely support Musk and DOGE's cost-cutting efforts, which have been targeted by multiple lawsuits and threats aimed at its engineers. Oversight Committee Chair James Comer highlighted the scale of improper payments, $2.7 trillion since 2003, according to the Government Accountability Office. For years, Republicans and Democrats on the Oversight Committee have condemned this waste. But now that DOGE is taking real action, Democrats are choosing to defend the bureaucracy and status quo instead of standing up for the American people, Comer said. Representative Bill Timmons questioned the lawsuits filed against DOGE. "We do not have the financial ability to continue down this path," he said of the federal spending. Trump's Inspector General firings. Democrats at the hearing spoke about the president's recent firings of numerous inspectors general across a range of agencies. Several of those inspectors general have filed a lawsuit challenging the legality of Trump's actions. The president has said the key oversight positions would not remain vacant for long, pledging to put good people in there that will be very good. There were already 15 inspector general positions still open at the end of Biden's term. Inspector general firings have caused controversy before. Oversight Republicans in 2009 scrutinized President Barack Obama's firing of Gerald Wallpin, Inspector General of the Corporation for National and Community Service. During the February 12 hearing, CASAR said Trump's firings included inspectors general investigating Musk-linked companies. Representative Jerry Connolly, ranking member of the Oversight Committee, also criticized the firings. "We want to have objective, neutral inspectors general who are monitoring government waste, fraud, and abuse," he said. There are more than 13,800 open recommendations from inspectors general. Comer, the oversight chair, recently told the Epoch Times he plans to convene a hearing later this month on them. Dylan Hetler-Gadet, director of public affairs for the Project on Government Oversight and a witness before the subcommittee, told the Epoch Times after the February 12 hearing that Trump's firings are definitely not going to help progress on backlogs daunting the entities charged with independent oversight. $1 trillion in savings possible, witness. Witnesses and lawmakers also delved into specific reforms to address improper payments that contribute to high social spending. Haywood Talcove, chief executive officer for government with LexisNexis Risk Solutions, told Representative Tim Burchett he believes the government could save $1 trillion through a few reforms, simply putting in front-end identity verification, eliminating self-certification, and monitoring the back end of the programs that are providing the benefits. He pointed out that Missouri already relies on SteadyIQ to safeguard certification. Greene asked Don Royal, another witness, about a lack of identity verification measures in public programs. "Does this mean the federal government and some states are giving out billions of dollars to individuals without verifying who they are or whether they meet program eligibility requirements?" Greene asked. Royal, a past president of the United Council on Welfare Fraud and a welfare fraud investigator, replied, "Yes, ma'am, that's correct." Stuart Whitson, a former FBI agent and legal director at the Foundation for Government Accountability, testified that the Biden administration's Medicaid streamlining rule prevents interviews in person or over the phone to confirm applicants' identities. Legislation and subcommittee report previewed. Timmons also drew attention to his bill to mandate the Internal Revenue Service share data with law enforcement authorities with the goal of pinpointing fraudulent Paycheck Protection Program loans from the pandemic era. Talco described the PPP as a virtual buffet for fraudsters in the COVID-19 period. Burchett later recommended that the subcommittee adopt Timmons's legislation. Timmons also said he was at work on legislation to boost identity and income verification requirements for benefits. "All we have to do is adopt what has already been proven in Missouri," he said, referring to the SteadyIQ system. Timmons estimated that the bills could save a collective $300 billion. Stansberry, meanwhile, said she and the committee's ranking member, Connolly, had developed a set of bipartisan ideas we want to work on together that would root out waste, fraud, and abuse and modernize and streamline how agencies deliver vital programs for the American people. In her closing remarks, Green promised that her subcommittee would soon issue a report outlining bills to address waste, fraud, and abuse.